TheYeshiva.net.
The main point of last year, learning here the Maimir Reishis Goyim Amalek from Purim Tavshin Tesvav, Purim 1955. The main point was that when one is confronted with a type of reality like Amalek's reality, where the opposition is not based on Seichel, it's not based on rationality, and therefore you can't defeat it with rationality. Like we have in Halacha, the way it comes in is the way it goes out. The way it's absorbed is the way it's spit out. It doesn't come in one. It doesn't come in through Seichel. It won't go out through Seichel. So there is different levels of the soul. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chayah, Yechidah. That was the main explanation. Nefesh is the way the soul relates to actualization. The way it governs the body. Ruach is emotion. Neshama is understanding. And it's different parts of the brain that have different parts of the soul that relate to different experiences in the person. They're responsible for different experiences in the person. And you always have to know which part is being aroused and being addressed. Right. Then you have Chaya Yechida. What's Chaya Yechida? Chaya Yechida is transcendent levels of the soul. Chaya, he said, is the ability to know something in the most visceral and intimate way, like when you see it. No question will refute it or destroy it because the relationship to it is so profound. It's so deep. It's not lamata min haseichel. It's lamayla min haseichel. In other words, it's ready to go through the whole process. And you have to go through sometimes the process because if a person is a skeptic or a person has questions, they need to make sure that their seichel doesn't disturb the process. But ultimately, you reach a level of recognition that is much deeper than that. You know who you are, you know who you're not. And then there's yichidah, and yichidah is bechal no opposition. As he said, yichidah is complete oneness, yichidah liyachdach. And in the place of yichidah, there's no le'umazah, there's no mitzias that you have to be mevatel, there's no reality that you have to nullify, because l'chatchila, there's no mitzias outside of atzmos eitzayf. And each soul has that p'china of yechida. When it's manifested, when it's embodied, when it's revealed, there's nothing outside of atzmos eitzayf. And he said, Amalek, which the opposition, is not al-pi seichel, or even al-pi midas, but rather, it's rooted in a chutzpah, in a gaiva. That's not al pi seichel. Like he spoke, there's different types of arrogance, different types of hatred, different types of opposition. So when a person tries to oppose Amalek with nefesh, ruach, and neshama alone, it's not successful. The language that's necessary is a completely different language. That's the language of Chaya and especially Yechida. As he puts it, nefesh, ruach, neshama are koiches pnimim, and therefore there be medidah v'hagbala. There's a measurement there. There's a finiteness there. So they can affect things that also have a measurement and a finiteness, but things that are beyond hagbalas, beyond limits, beyond time, and beyond reasons, they have this insanity to them, this infinite quality to them, even if distorted. So one needs the koiches makifim. The koiches that are transcendent, that are also infinite, that are not defined in a particular form, and that's chaya, and even more than that, yechida. That was the main point. Now we'll go further. Siftes, page 296. Al zeh amar Moshe Yeshua. This is what Moshe said to Yeshua after Amalek declares war against the Jewish people. Vayavay Amalek vayelachim Yisrael berifidim, as it says in Parshas Bishalach. So Moshe turns to Yeshua and he says, "P'char lanu anoshim, v'tzei v'hilachim ba'amalek. Tzei hilachim ba'amalek." As he says in 46, footnote, B'shalach perik yitzayin pasuk tes. Parshas B'shalach, that's Shmois, chapter 17, verse pasuk tes, verse 9. Moshe tells Yeshua, "Choose for us men or people and go out and combat Amalek." So there's a Moira de Kediyuk from the Alter Rebbe, from the Balatanya, in Torah, Parshas Tetzaveh. He says the word lanu seems superfluous. Moshe should have said, Pchara Noshim, it's Sevi Lachim Bamalik. Obviously, it's our people. We're not going to help Amalek. He should have said, Pchara Noshim, choose people, choose men, choose the right people, and say, and go away. He says, Pchara Lanu Anoshim. Choose for us. Yeah, obviously, we're not choosing people to go assist Amalek. Pchara Lanu Anoshim. So the Rebbe says, Shekadeli Lachim Bamalik, Tzarechlias Anche Moshe. The Alter Rebbe says, to fight Amalek, you need a specific type of people. A specific type of person. You need Anshe Moshe. Make sure they're Lanu. Of course they're going to be on our team. That's not the Yeshua didn't need to know that. B'chai Lanu, they have to be Lanu. They have to belong to us. What does it mean they have to belong to us? The Alter Rebbe's Lashon is Anshe Moshe. The Rabban Moshe's mention. Moshe's people. So what's Pshat? Doesn't just mean they're loyal to Moshe. Means, what does it mean they're loyal to Moshe? Anshe Moshe means they're people of Moshe. This people, it's felt in them, Moshe. What's the meaning of Moshe? The whole name of Moshe, like the Torah says in Parashat Shema, is that the daughter of Pare gave him a name Moshe because I plucked him out of water. I drew him out of water. The word Moshe, Masha, Mishisiu is I drew him, I took him, I extracted him from the water. He was already in the water. The taich of that spiritually is Meha Chachma. Waters are the waters of Chachma. Ein Mayim, the Gemara says in Babakame Mayim Alatayda, water represents generally the flow of Chachma. Hainu Sheboi, Nimshach B'Pnimi Yisub Islapshus, Leidak B'chines Nefesh Ruach Neshama, Lagam B'chines Chaya. In other words, in Moshe's neshama, you have embodied not only nefesh ruach neshama, but also chaya v'lachein aydei anshe Moshe. Shadav kal yodin imsheches b'pnimis v'bislapshus gam b'chines chaya koiches amakifim efsheli yisseihi lachem ba'amalek. We explained before that nefesh ruach neshama, nefesh is connected to maisa, ruach is connected to midas, neshama is connected to bina, and chaya is connected to chachma. Chachma is like seeing something. It's a clarity. There's a clarity in Chachma. A person has an epiphany. It's called a Baruch Hamavri, like a lightning. A light bulb goes into your brain. It's like you see it. With the third eye, you see it. So there's a connection to it that is very, very profound. It's very intimate. And that's what real Amuna means. Amuna is not lower than Seichel. It's beyond. It's higher than. It's like Re'iyah. The soul sees ultimate reality. It's like a sixth sense that the soul has. When cultivated, it gives the soul the ability to experience ultimate reality. Leis machshava tfisa beklal, it says in Zohar. No machshava could be tefis alakus. But chachma is not machshava. Chachma is like the ear of chachma. It's koyach ma. Moshe says v'nachnu ma. It's twice. What are we? Alter Rebbe says Moshe is the b'china of v'nachnu ma, koyach ma. That's connected already to the chaya of the neshama. Chaya of the neshama, that's the ri'i of the neshama, the certainty of the neshama that's beyond only seichel, it's beyond pilpulim, it's beyond comprehension. So he says, b'chai lanu anoshim. Moshe Rabbeinu comes from the mayim, he comes from the mayim, mea chachma, the Rambam says in Hilchus Mekvayis, that a mikra represents mea da'as ha-tohir. So Moshe comes from those waters, that's what it's representing, mida mayim ishisiyu, b'chai lanu anoshim. Choose our people. Why? Because it's not just a physical war against Amalek. So you need Pashut soldiers who know how to fight. They could fight Amalek. It's also obviously you need them. But here you're talking about Amalek on every level. Only Anshe Moshe have that relationship with Chaya Yechida that they can combat Amalek. For Inyan Bazaar, the explanation is L'chayre Nemuvon Mashachaya Yechidim Koiches Makifim She'enam Boim Bepnimi So Bislapshus. Apparently, we need to understand why is it that Chaya and Yechidim are called Koiches Makifim. Again, what are Makifim? Makifim means it's not Pnimim, it's Makifim. Pnimim means it goes into the Pnim, inside. Makif means it surrounds it. Spiritually, what does that mean? Pnim means it's integrated into the system. Makifa means it transcends one system. And therefore its impact is on a level that can sometimes be unconscious. Because the person may not have the keli, may not have the ability to experience it in a conscious way within his or her modality. Yichai yichida called koiches makifim that are not, usually don't come bepnimius, ubehislapshus, enclosed, manifested, embodied. What's the question? Shari gam benegeilu b'chinis nefesh roch neshama. Hini kidei shiyu koiches pnimim v'yuchlu lislapsh benefesh abamus lachreza gam b'haguv. Even nefesh ruach neshama, the fact that they could become koiches pnimim, they could become faculties that are integrated, that are enclosed in the animal consciousness, and as a result of that in the body, that itself is a pella, it's a wonder. The Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, he brings it, Rama Yerachayim Simen Vav, that when we say Asher Yotzer in the morning, or when we go out of the bathroom, we make a special bracha, what do we say? Baruch Atah Hashem, Roifei Chol Basar, Umafli Lasses. It's an interesting thing, it's an interesting bracha. He heals all flesh, Umafli Lasses. He does wonders. Umafli Lasses, it's a pella what he does. Mafli from the word pella, wondrous, stupendous, beyond. Right, like Nifla, Ala Niflayas. Adoina Neflayas, like we say in the morning. So the Rambam says, what are we talking about? He says, we're talking about the kishur, the connection of soul and body. Don't take it for granted, he says. It's a pella sheba pella. Ultimate ruchnius, which connects with ultimate gashmis, and there's a seamless, they become like a seamless whole, to the point that you can't even distinguish between the two. Because I have a soul, I don't know, I have a body, I don't know if I have a soul. You can even deny the concept of a soul. Some want to say that we're just a machine with electrical currents. And the electrical current is what's responsible for everything. Consciousness, okay, I don't know, it's an interesting machine. It decides it has consciousness too. It's like your phone will decide tomorrow it has consciousness. They're already deciding. There was a press conference last June with artificial intelligence in Geneva, in Switzerland. And they had like a bunch of ARs. They looked like people. And the reporters interviewed them. The UN arranged this, the United Nations. And LaPella wasn't anti-Israel. Usually if the UN arranges something, it has to be anti-Israel. It wasn't. At least not that I know of. Before they started, they told the reporters, there may be a delay in the answer, but don't think it's because of those who are answering it. It's because of the internet connection. Don't think that they're delaying their answer. They're not delaying their answer. It's B'negi Kamemra. So one of the questions was, one of them asked artificial intelligence, do you think it would be better if you guys would run the world rather than people? You would take over the governments, you would run the countries, you would make all the decisions. He said, of course, of course. We don't have your egos. We don't have your biases. This is the AR. We don't have your agendas. We're not enmeshed in your politics. We don't come to things with all of your insecurities and all your problems. Of course, we would wonder, well, there would be a much more normal and rational and peaceful world. Yeah. The system didn't hurt you. No wounds. Yeah. I don't know if he said that. We don't have any trauma. I don't know. I don't know how much he learned yet. Huh?
This answer has actually proved that there is something called consciousness.
Yeah. Consciousness. Why?
Because if you don't have consciousness, then you can say there's no ego. There's
Yeah. I'm a chayy, there's no ego, no consciousness, no ego. So they asked them, the second question was, are you going to do it? Are you guys going to stage a rebellion and take over? This was very deep. He right away said, why would you even ask the question? Why should we want to hurt those who created us? Yeah. Why should we want to hurt those who created us? I hit Avart. Why should we go against those who created us? Our entire, we owe our entire existence to the one, those who created us. Why should we go against them?
They still have a lot to learn.
I said, people don't talk about the one who created them that way. Why should I go against the one who created me? It was a shtark of art. Why should I? Why? My whole existence comes from there. What? Where's this idea coming from? I'll call upon him. So the Rama says, ah? So the Rama says, that's how Mafli Lassus. Mafli Lassus is the kishur, the connection of neshama and guf. And it's such a connection that the neshama and the guf mamish become one, to the point that you can't even distinguish between the two. When the neshama is living in the guf is an embodiment of the soul. It's not like you have two things. Oh, here's my body and here's my soul. My soul is one part and my body is another part. It's completely one. In neshama itself, though, there's two b'chinas. There's nefesh ha-bahamis and there's nefesh ha-lelkis. Nefesh ha-bahamis is nefesh ha-basa bedami. It's the soul that lives in the blood. So to speak, the animating, vivifying consciousness that vivifies the body. It's responsible for the life of the body. Not only the life, all the functionality of the body. And not only functionality, but the entire personality of the nefesh ha-bahamis. As we learned, it has seichel and it has midas. There's nefesh and there's ruach and neshama in nefesh ha-bahamis. And then you have the nefesh elikis, which is a chelik elikami mal mamish. And that's manifested and embodied in the animal soul. And through that in the body. And that's why the souls are so deeply connected. So the Rebbe says, even the nefesh ruach and neshama to come into the nefesh of Bahamas is already mafli lasis. To be able to create that marriage. It's not a marriage of two separate people living in the same house. It's a marriage where it's often indistinguishable. No, what's coming from my nefesh elikis? What's my nefesh abahamas? Because it's so, they're so tight. The kinship is so profound. It's so acute. So it's mafli lasis. That's what we're saying. Reifi chabasa mafli lasis. Why do we say it by Asher Yatzar? But Pashto's the reason is, because that's when we're celebrating, like the magic of biology. I mean, it's one of the times, right? You know, we don't think about it, right? I ate something and somehow my digestive system knows exactly what to do and knows exactly how to break down the food. Usually people go for 10 years to university to learn about the difference of glucose and fat and the protein and all the energy in the food and how to break it down and how to understand what it does for you. And somehow a little baby was just born, knows everything on its own. The body knows how to break this down. This goes this goes here, this goes there. This is garbage. This is going into the bloodstream. This is becoming fat. And then when it's ready, the person goes to the bathroom, gets rid of all the psilas they have to get rid of. It's a pchin of roifi chalbaso mafli lasas. So the shaila is if even nefesh ruach and neshama on its own can't come in bepnimius of bislapshus in the nefesh habamas. It's mafli lasis. Im kein mitzadakoyach mafli lasis. Hani bichot lekasher beguf gam chinas chayi yichidish gam hem yiyu bederich islapshus upnimius. So mitzad mafli lasis, even chayi yichidish could be completely embodied. Acheinyin hu shakoyach hamafli lasis nizgal erakadeh lekasher ruchnis begashmis. The answer is koyach hamafli lasis creates the spirit, creates the connection between the spiritual and the physical, which is mafli lasis. Mafli lasis. Like, don't take it for granted. It's a pele shebeployim every moment that the ruach and the geshem, the metaphysical and the physical, the spiritual and the physical, not only become connected, but become completely one, and there's a seamless flow between them to the point that it's indistinguishable where one begins and one ends, because they're really one. They become one. Aval beruchni is gufa. In Ruchnius itself, yesh in yonam sheichelim l'slabish gam b'makam sheish taruvus toivira. V'yesh in yonam she'enim yichelim l'slabish b'makam sheish taruvus toivira. V'yichide, v'chaye v'yichide im koiches kele she'enim yichelim lovi b'makam sheish b'taruvus toivira. In Ruchnius itself, you have things that could tolerate being enclosed in a place where there could be a mixture of good and evil. But then there's those things they can't be in such a place. Chaya and Yechid are types of koiches that they cannot be embodied in a place where there's a mixture of Tov and Ra. Al derech shematzinu, just like we similar to what we see, sheyesh inyanim nalim, sheichaylem lovi gam bebri yitzid asiya. There are sublime realities that can come and be manifested even in the world of Briya and Yetzir and Asiya. Just like when we talk about the world of Atzilus, Shinim Shechum Mislapish Leidak Bailam is Briya Yetzir Elagam Bailam Asiya. It's manifested not only in the world's Briya Yetzir, but even in the lowest world, the world of Asiya. As the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, explains in Tanya, Igeres HaKadosh, the fourth section, chapter 20, which begins, Iyu v'chayoi chad, Iyu v'garmoi chad, he actually wrote it a few days before his istalkos, Sha'ores HaKav, Sha'yemei, Bekelem diyu tzvid, is the Malchus d'atzilis, Baka, parsi mo'em, va'ore, da'ore, da'ore, b'chalon evroyim, v'nitzonim, v'nasim, gam b'ilam asir. He explains that the ray of the Kav is that original line that comes in post-tzimtzum, into the empty space, so a ray of the Kav, which was illuminating the vessels of the 10 spheres of Malchus of Atzilus, breaches through the parsa. Parsa is the curtain, the veil. And a ray, and of a ray, of a ray, of the Kav, permeates all the Nivrayim, which means all the created beings of Bria, all the Noitzarim, anything formed in Yetzirah, Noitzarim, and only all the Nasim, everything created in Asiyah. Al derech ze matzinu binyan hanavua shehum Atzilus. What do we see from here? That a ray of a ray of a ray can reach Asiya too. The same is true, we find the concept of prophecy, which prophecy generally is that your antennas are tuned into Atzilus. That's what makes a Navi a Navi. Sha'a Navi nimtza b'olam Asiya. The Navi existed in this world, in olam Asiya. Ubi yoyse b'olam Asiya nimshichu mizgal etzlayin yinavu shum Atzilus. And in Asiya, he experienced a prophecy, a flow that comes from Atzilus. This means, obviously, was only a prophet. A prophet, obviously, was extremely refined. But still, the Navi was an Asiya. But this means that there could be some type of revelation, even from Atzilus, that could be manifested and manifested by Pnimis, even in a place where there could be mixtures of different energies, including Toiv and the opposite of Toiv, good and the opposite of good. But then there are higher, more intense forms of revelation. They cannot be expressed, embodied, in a place where there's a mixture of good and not good. This we find about the concept of circumcision of a bris. After Avram Avinu did his work, and he withstood many trials and tribulations, the Nisyonis. Hine kedei sheyizgalu eiris nailim b'yoyse. Shal yodam nasin yinde v'heitamim hutzuchliyis hasara sarla. Hainu lo hasigam helam v'hester kaseh shalai yifriya legili kol eiris v'amashachas royes lavram kedem amila. In order for Avram Avinu to have the revelation of great lights, of great energy, through which he experienced what's called Heyetamim, Hashem says, Hisalech lefonai veheyetamim, at the end of Lech Lecha. Walk before me and become tamim. Become tamim. Tamim means whole, complete. And for this, he told them to, yes, he gets to undergo a bris, a milah. So even though Avram Avinu did his avoid, and he withstood many trials, and one can only imagine, or not, the profundity of consciousness that Avraham Avinu was living in, how deep, how authentic, how true, still, in order to experience yet a higher level of Ur, to the point that he would become Tamim, whole, Hashem says, now even you have to remove your foreskin, your Arla. And he's 99 years old. In other words, he has to remove even a type of blockage that did not obstruct all the lights and all the flow of energy that Avraham Avinu had before the Bris Milah. There's a story that the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Shach, for Kedushas Admur, Reb Shalom Doiv Bershneis, and he was the father of the Rebbe Ayatz. He passed away Beis Nissen Tov Reish Pei in 1920 in Rostov. When he was 4 or 5 years old, he went into the Tzemach Tzedek. It was Parshas Vayera. It was his birthday is Chav Chesh, when he went in for his birthday to the Tzemach Tzedek. Tzemach Tzedek was already right before his istalkos. So Sedek was the grandson of the Baal HaTanya, the third Lubavitcher. So he started to cry. I heard a story from the Rebbe by Verbrengen. He used to say it every, not every year, but he said almost every year, Shabbos Vayeda. He said it a lot. Someone said it was the Rebbe's grandfather, but through his father. The Rebbe's wife was also a granddaughter of the Tzemach Tzedek. The Rebbe Rashab's grandfather, yeah. The Alter Rebbe was the Tzemach Tzedek's grandfather. The Tzemach Tzedek was the Rebbe Rashab's grandfather. Tzemach Tzedek was the Rebbe number 3. The Rebbe Rashab was the Rebbe number 5, because he was a grandson. The Rebbe Rashab's father was Reb Shmuel, the Rebbe Marash, and he was the youngest son of the Tzemach Tzedek. So, it happens to be that the Rebbe was also a grandson of the Tzemach Tzedek through his father, and his wife was a granddaughter of the Tzemach Tzedek through her father. In fact, the Rebbe and his wife were both named after the Tzemach Tzedek and his wife. The Rebbe's wife's name was Chaya Mushka. That was the Tzemach Tzedek's wife's name. The Rebbe was Menachem Mendel after the Tzemach Tzedek. So it happens to be they were both named after the Tzemach Tzedek and his Rebbe's. So the Rebbe Rashab started to cry. He was a little kid. So the Tzemach Tzedek said, Vaz Veinsta. So he said, he learned in Chumash, in the Parsha, Vayere Elav Hashem, Beilonei Ma'amrei, V'yayisha Pesach El G'chayei, G'chayei Mayei. After the bris, at the end of Lech Lecha, Hashem appeared to Avram Avinu. In the middle of the day, he's sitting at the door of the tent, in the heat of the day. So he said, Echvein, Favazer Ebeshte, Bavaisach Nish Tzumir, Azei Vetzich Bavizans Avram Avinu. Why doesn't Hashem appear to me or to us, like he appeared to Avram Avinu? That's why he's crying. Different people cry for different things. So the Tzemach Tzedek told him, Azayid, zu 99 Jahr is machlet, as er darf sich mal sein, is er wert, as er ebst, as er sich beweisen. A Jew who's 99 years old decides that he needs to go through a bris. So he's a keli that Hashem should reveal himself to. The Rebbe Rashab told over the story. This was ingrained. That's what he's saying here. Usually, a person goes through such a void, and you're talking about Avram Avinu. It's at the age of 99, you know, you're complete. There was such a sensitivity to truth that Avram Avinu still felt that he has a foreskin that he has to remove. It's not just the physical concept, it's the spiritual concept. Arla represents, the word Arla means Arel, right? Stuffed. Something is Arelim Yiulachem. It says about Arla. When something is plugged, when something is blocked, it's called Arla. Obstructed. And that's why it's called Arla. Arla is the foreskin that blocks the Aver Hamila. And you have to remove the Arla. That's what Hasaras Arla is, removing that Arla that covers over. Dr. Rebbe explains in a Maimer, Hafla de Kavart, he actually said it at a bris of his grandson, Baruch Shalom, the oldest son of the Tzemach Tzedek, Tavkov Samach Vav. He explains in a Maimer the union of a bris. And he says, it's a Hafla de Kavart. Creation, like we learned in previous Shem, Kala Oimer Davar B'Shem Oimer Mevi Gula Lailam. Everything in creation is the Dvar Hashem. It's the divine energy. Baruch Sha'amar V'Haya Oilam. So essentially, there is a flow from the Creator to creation, and it's constant. And that's what we all are. We're a manifestation of that flow. We don't feel it because there's an Arla. There's an Arla. There's a blockage. There's a blockage. And the flow happens through that. And therefore, our vision is blocked. If the doors of perception were cleansed, we would see that there's a direct flow of energy every single moment, and we are an embodiment of that energy. Because Nasa Adam B'Tzalmenu Kidmasenu, a person is created in the image of Hashem. So the Baal HaTanya, Alter Rebbe says a person is the same thing. Which part of a person creates life? The life comes from the seed. Life comes from the Ois Bris Kodesh, from the seed of life. That's how we create a child. That seed of life, when it's conceived and impregnated by the nukva, by the feminine, that's what creates a child. So the source of life, the source of real creativity of a person, comes from the Ois Bris Kodesh. We also have there's an Arla. there's a blockage. So he says the removal of the Arla is not just an individual thing. It helps a person remove the cosmic Arla. that there should be Gilui Elokus, there should be able to be a revelation of the flow of energy without obstruction. But L'chayr Avraham Avinu could say, he did his avoid, he has all these nisyonis. Now he has to have a bris. So Tzemach Tzedek said, Ayid, 99 years old, decides that he needs to make a bris. This is what created the revelation. Obviously, Hashem told them, but he told him he was ready for it. He was open to it.
Does that mean as we get towards Chaya and Yekida, that the Yekida itself is an insanity of Kedusha?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was at the level now of...
Yeah. So the Vart is, why not before? See, that's what he's explaining. Before, everything he had, the Arla wasn't a contradiction for it. It can be present in him, even with the Arla. But at this moment, he had to experience a type of self that what before was not a blockage, but today it's a blockage. And the same is true in people's lives. Yesterday, this may not have been an Arla for me that obstructed anything. Because what I was about to experience, it was fine. It could live in this place, even though there's still some foreskin. And this really gives comfort to people, because sometimes a person reaches a certain plateau, a spiritual plateau or an emotional plateau, and things seem to be wonderful. And then they hit a wall, a stumbling block, and it seems like they lost everything. They're plunged into a darkness. What happened? Why did I fall so back? How did I go backwards? Says, no, you're going forward. You're going forward. You're opening yourself up to a much, you're ready to open yourself up to a higher reality, and this higher reality cannot come in with this Arla. Yesterday you can afford this Arla. You can still afford this lie. You can afford this blockage. You can afford this little foreskin, whatever it looks like in your life. We're talking here about emotional Arlos. Right? V'hasireisi eslev habasar. Umaltem es arlas levavchem, it says in Chumash, right? You will circumcise, there's the arla of the heart. Arlas levavchem. The heart also has an arla. It's a foreskin. It's a blockage. Timtum alev. It's the bris in the lev, yeah. Arlas levavchem. So yesterday, I was fine. It was good. Today, your soul is looking for more. It's open for more. So what yesterday's geula becomes today's galus. That's what it says, b'chol dor v'dor, chayev adam l'risatz v'chol yotzim v'shalem, and Alter Rebbe and Tanya says, b'chol dor v'dor, u'b'chol yoyim v'yoyim. It's not just, it's every day we go out of Mitzrayim. We mention Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day. What's the idea? The idea is yesterday's geula is today's Mitzrayim. So today I need to go out of Mitzrayim yet again. And since Ein Sof is infinite, so therefore, tomorrow, today's Gula, maybe tomorrow's Mitzrayim.
Is that the concept of Ratz of Hashav?
Yeah, and it takes a lot of courage to say that yesterday's redemption is today's Egypt. Come on, I'm a redeemed man. Yesterday you were a redeemed man. Today you're an exiled man. It's time to go out of the shackles today. You say, come on, relative to other people, this is not shackles. I'm an enlightened human being. Relative to truth, this is also shackles. So it's not like, you know, I'm done. There's no such a thing. The moment the person thinks they're done, they're in the worst gullus. So that's what he's saying. In order for there to be a certain oil, even the arla, it couldn't be there. It's not going to come in. So his salach lefane ve'ye tamim, even Avram Avinu, you have to remove Your Arla, whatever that means in Avram Avinu's life. Al derech zeh b'chol nefesh v'nefesh miYisrael. And this is true with every soul. Sheyesh koiches b'nefesh yichaylam l'slabesh b'derech pnimi gam kasher b'nefesh abhamas u'begov yashadayin taru v'stoy v'ra. Ma'sheken ha-koiches chaya yichid e'enim yichaylam lovi b'slabshus kolz man sheyesh b'nefesh abhamas u'begov taru v'stoy v'ra. This is the difference of nefesh ruach neshama and chaya yichid. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, to come into the body, into the animal soul. It's also mafli lasai, says the Rama explains, like we said before. It's also a pella of pellas. So we asked, if it's anyway a Pella, why can't Chaya Yechida also be embodied on the same levels? That's what he's explaining. You have koichus in the soul that can be manifested and embodied, b'derech pnimi, even when the animal soul and the body still have a taruva, still have a mixture of toiv and ra. Toiv means that which is completely connected. Toiv and ra means that which, toiv is that which is completely one. And ra means that which is separate, even when it's still mixed. The nefesh, ruach, and neshama can flow there and can be manifested there and can be felt viscerally. But chaya yechida, for chaya yechida to come out, they only are manifest in a place where there's no taruvus, there's no mixed of toiv and ra. In other words, if they're going to be there, they have to be there fully. They ain't the only balabas. If they're coming in, you have to clean up. You need a gut job. It says, it says that his mother saw that he was good in Parsha Shmos. So Chazal say, the Gemara says in Saita, shekshenoylad nismali habayis kuli oira, haynu shafilu gufay haya kuli toiv, shaloy haya bay taruv esra. When Moshe was born, the house was filled with light. This means even his body, his guf, was kuli toiv, was transparent. The light of the soul was shining through the body. The body was a channel. So there was no taruv esra. There's no mixture of negativity. V'lecheni yonu yubchines chaya. And Yechida, she'etzlo ha'yocha lovi b'pnimi, so b'slapshas afilu ha'koyach t'chaya. So that's why by Moshe, kimina mayim ishisiyu, by him, even the chaya and the Yechida was b'pnimius, it was b'slapshas. It was manifested, it was embodied. Because v'atera oisi kitovu nesmali abayis kuliyoda, so the keli was completely pure. Because when Yechida emerges, what emerges is there's nothing outside of Ein Sof. So when that emerges, there's no other mixture of Toiv and Ra in the person. It's Yechida Liyachtach, it's complete oneness.
So if that happened,
it says Moshe Rabbeinu was born Mahol, he was born circumcised.
So the concept of Mila means that level,
right.
By Yechida is obtained by
Yechida. Right, so there was no Arla by Moshe.
So that at a bris, there's a revelation of light.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the concept of Eliyahu?
Yeah. And Elio, I think, is connected to the level of Chaya in Kabbalah.
Yeah.
Right. The Gemara says, it says in Chazal, Moshe was born. One of the interpretations is that she saw that he was already born after a bris.
And that would be true of any of our Avos that didn't need to be Kabbalah.
Yeah, so, Avram and Yitzchak, it says clearly there was a bris. And Pashtus Yaakov also. But it says by Moshe clearly that he didn't need. An interesting thing, I had an uncle, my father's brother. He passed away not long ago. His name was Shalom. And he was born on Zayin Adar, which is the birthday of Moshe, and he was born Noilad Mal. He was born after a bris.
Did they require a toughest dam?
So you need a toughest dam, yeah. It says in Aloha, you have to, a little blood. But there was not much to do. Huh? Yosef and uncle? Really? And you want to know something? And you could see it on him. There was a certain purity in him. Like it was like there were certain parts of Olam Hazeh that he didn't understand. Not that he wasn't naive, but it was like a very pure, like a certain edelkeit. And his Lavaya, he passed away not so long ago. So I, at the end of the funeral, I went over to son and I said, I don't know, just care. I said, dein tate is a reiner reiner und a reus a reiner. He came in clean and he left clean. You can't say that about everybody. The Gemara says in Baba Metzia, Taf Kuv Zayin, Baruch Ata Bivayecho, Baruch Ata Betzeisecha, right? Shetehe Yitzioscha Min Oilam, Kibiyoscha Loilam. When you leave, people should be able to say you're blessed, just like when you came in. Very often you come in, this little innocent angel, everybody's taking pictures. He's so cute. So he says, you should leave the room the way you came into the room. Sometimes there's something called Arlas Halev. The heart is verstopped. It's verstopped. Verstopped, it's plugged. Clogged, yeah. Very clogged. So it's very clogged. Asherkarcha baderech vayizanu b'chakol anachashalom acharecha. That's what Amalek attacked. Now you see the connection. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he embodied Chaya Yechida 24/7. That's what he embodied. So now Moshe says, when we have to fight Amalek, b'char lanu anoshim. You need Anshe Moshe. B'char lanu anoshim. You need Anshe Moshe. People who are in tune with the frequency, not only of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, but also of Chaya Yechida. They could fight Amalek. Because Amalek is a dangerous enemy. So they have to be able to have that shtus tikdusha, that lamaylam and aseichel, that's chaya, and even more than that, yichida, which einoid mulvadei mamish, they can deal with Amalek. Over here, Amalek won't be able to infiltrate. They're going to go with regular seichel, then Amalek is he already knows all the cheshbonis, he doesn't care. It's not negeya. That's what he says. What does it mean you become a man of Moshe? It means that every Jew can choose to reveal himself, the spark of Moshe inside of him. Like he says in 57, Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, and interesting, he says in Gemara, it says in Parshas Ekev, Moshe said, "V'ata Yisrael ma Hashem alakecha shoel meimach kiim liyiris Hashem alakecha." Moshe said, "Yisrael, what is Hashem already asking of you? He's just asking of you kiim, only to fear Hashem." Frag the Gemara, yire milse zutrusi, Gemara in Brachas. Yire is a small thing. Well, what am I asking of you already? What am I asking of you? I absolutely with you for 50 cents. Yire is such a small thing, like Moshe is minimizing it. And for the Gemara in Lagabi Moshe milse zutrusi. For Moshe, it's a small thing. Asks Alter Rebbe in Tanya, Yishikoyach, Hashoyel Me'imach Ksiv. Moshe wasn't talking about himself. He said, V'ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Alekech, Hashoyel Me'imach, Kim Le'ires Hashem Alekech. What is Hashem already asking of you? So he's saying, well, for me, it's a small thing. If you have Lahavdil, right, one of the most muscular, powerful people in the world, weightlifter, and he bench presses 1,000 pounds. Then he comes to a little kid and he says, could you bench press, 600 pounds? What am I asking of you already? So you say, for him, it's not a big deal. But he's asking you, he's not asking himself. So the Alter Rebbe says, the Gemara, it's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara means, Legabe Moshe Milse Zutrasi, Legabe Moshe and every Jew. Legabe the Moshe and every Jew, it's a Milse Zutrasi. That's the part. There's a Moshe in every Jew. There's the frequency, kavayachal, of Moshe, the energy of Moshe that exists in every Jew. In other words, Moshe represents a dimension in every Jew. When you reveal that, he says you can go fight Amalek. To fight the chutzpah that doesn't have a crown. It says that Amalek, like we learned earlier, you could be a king without a crown. He doesn't need a crown. His chutzpah doesn't need a crown, meaning gaiva she'ein aleatam. It's a type of gaiva, a haughtiness, a pride, an arrogance, a narcissism that doesn't even have a tam. It doesn't have to have a reason. Ulevatalaisa, and to nullify it. Tsevi, lachim ba'malek, has to be through Anshe Moshe. V'zeu reishis goyim ha'malek. So this now brings us back to what he began. Reishis goyim ha'malek. Bilam says in Parshas Balak that the beginning of all the goyim is ha'malek. The genesis of the nations, ha'malek v'acharisa yadayovit. And he will be lost at the end. So b'pashtus, it means that ha'malek was different than all the other nations. His fight against the Jewish people is unique. It's absolutely unique. When others were afraid, he decided to attack. When others didn't want to go into the hot bath, he decided to go into the hot bath, even though he's going to be scolded and scorched, just to cool it off from other people. When he was not provoked, he decided to come fight. And therefore, by other goyim, you have birurim, could be masakin, by Amalek, yisachri, yisayadayavit. So he started the mime that the Torah is eternal in every time, in every space, and in every era. And everything physically comes from the way it is spiritually. So this mitzvah exists constantly in Avodah. So that's what he started to say, that Amalek is Reishis Goyim. Reishis Goyim means the beginning of the nations, which means you have the seven nations of Canaan, which represent seven middas, the seven middas of the animal soul. And Amalek is Reishis Goyim. It's the beginning, it's the source, it's the Reishis, it's the source of all the seven middas that are not good, and therefore Acharisei Adayavet. And in order to explain this, he started to explain the whole union of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chayi, Yechida. So when he finishes with Zoreishis Goyim Amalek, Shamakar Dechol Goyim, Hu Amalek, Shinyanei Chutzpah B'lei Taiga Gaiva B'lei Tam. That essentially, if you go deeper, the source of all the Goyim, of all the Midas Rayas, Goyim as representing the spiritual energies of different Midas, the source of it is Amalek. What's Amalek? Amalek is Chutzpah, without a crown, Gaiva without a reason. V'hainu, If not for the gaiva without a tam, if not for Amalek, even mitzat seichel, there's no room in a person's life and in the world for something that's not al pitayda. In other words, like the Gemara says in Saita, ein adam oved aved elam kein nichnas boy ruach shtus. There's a spirit of insanity, of folly, of you get shut down. You're offline. In order for the Aveda to be able to take root into a person's psyche, you know, like the Gemara says, once you do it a few times, right? It says, "Over Aveda v'shana nasa lekaheta." You do it twice, it's already a heta. The Katzke said, "What happens when you do it three times? It becomes a mitzvah. First time it's a sin. The second time it's a heta. The third time it's a mitzvah." The fourth time, fourth time it's a hidu mitzvah, the fifth time it's a chumrah, and the sixth time it's the only way to serve God. This is just addition to the Katzke Rebbe's. The point is, I become insensitive, I become callous to reality. The truth is that when you talk about Torah mitzvahs, like we learn many times, it's not a system superimposed on humanity, superimposed on reality. I want to live a normal life, and somehow God, together with Moshe Rabbeinu, decided to interfere and obstruct the process and try to ruin my life as much as possible with every few minutes having another halacha of what's asur, what's mutter, what's forbidden, and then there's noch a chumrah. That approach is untrue, and it's also toxic, and it's very difficult. It's the exact opposite. That's what he's saying here. The idea, the whole idea of Torah mitzvah, it's a blueprint to be aligned with life. So essentially, he's saying here something powerful. Reishis Goyim Amalek. All the Midas Rayos, any inyan al pi Torah, and if it's not al pi Torah, it's not enough seichel. Al pi seichel, everything should be al pi Torah. But there's a nekuda of Amalek. And Amalek is self-destructive. Amalek does something irrational. So this is a fascinating thing. In other words, when I'm in my prefrontal cortex, when I'm perfectly aligned, even with my Kaya HaSeichel, the Nefesh HaBahamas wants to be a channel for the Nefesh HaLikis. It's not crazy enough not to. But the problem is we become abyssal Meshiga. Everyone. There's an element of craziness. There's an element of insanity. When it's broken down, that's what it comes down to. It's chutzpah b'li tam. Chutzpah doesn't mean you're a mechutzif. Don't speak to me like that. Chutzpah, essentially, all forms of irrational coping mechanisms are from chutzpah. It doesn't mean like, you know, they called you in classroom a mechutzif, a chutzpinyak. That can also be chutzpah. But chutzpah is the idea where, what's the power of chutzpah? The power of chutzpah is not persuasion. It's chutzpah. Say, this guy has chutzpah. What does it mean? Like a lawyer once told me that they taught him in law school. Maybe you'll know this. I think he went to Columbia. He told me, Columbia, NYU, in New York, one of the law schools. So they'll told him like this. When you're in the courthouse, if the law is on your side, yell the law. If the law is not on your side, but emotions are on your side, yell emotions. And if not the law and not emotions are on your side, just yell. Just yell. Divrei chachamim benachas nishmayim. It says in Kehelis. The words of the wise are spoken pleasantly, benachas. And he says the contrary. The fool screams. Why? Or the Chacham can't scream. The point is, a Chacham sometimes gets passionate and can scream also. It doesn't mean he's a shoita because he raised his voice. It means he's raising his voice because it's a manifestation of passion. It's not a substitute for truth. You understand? Sometimes people are screaming, they're hollering. What zogst du? There was one. Pound on the table. Argue the facts, argue the law. It's not just pound on the table. Okay. Could be I'm distorting it. They say a maisa that the Briskei Rav, let's tell a story. He once went into shul. It was a Karlin, a chassid. There was a chassid from Karlin, Stalin. And Karlin, the minig is that you daven very loud, right? They scream the whole davening besides Shmin Esra. You ever went to a shul in Karlin? A Karlin shul. It's already from the Aaron HaGadol of Karlin. It's the Briskei Rav didn't understand it wasn't his style, to put it mildly. So they say that he went over to this chassid shayid. He said, "Good morning, Shalom Aleichem." He screamed, "Good morning, Shalom." He says, "Rebbe, was schreiter? Why are you screaming?" He says, I'm telling you hello." He says, "I'm right here. You don't have to scream." So he says, "When the Eberst is like da, the daft is schreien. God is also right here. You don't have to scream." The Briskei Rav thought that he got him. He says, "I'm not screaming for the Eberst there. Ich weiß es, ich schreie für sich, ich soll haben. I'm screaming for myself. I should hear the davening. I know Hashem is here. Ich soll haben." The Briskei Rav didn't expect that. "I'm not here, that's the problem. Ich schreie für sich." The idea of chutzpah, they say, it's an old joke. There was once a Jewish woman. You know, the buses in Israel can get very crowded. Yeah, if you ever went, and very hot and crowded. People are often in an uptight mood. You don't start up with the driver, you don't start up with the other people. They say there was a woman, and she comes by the bus stop, and she came onto the bus. The driver says, whatever it is, seven shekel. So she tells him, "Imata yita yedeya ma yeshpa etzli, la yita mevakesh kesef. If you knew what I have here, you wouldn't have asked me for money." So he thought, okay, who knows, you know, terminal cancer, whatever. He does, okay, fine, sit down. But there was no place to sit. So she goes over to the first guy sitting by the chair. She says, "If you would know what I have here, you wouldn't stay seated when I come in." So he gets up. She sits down, but it's still not comfortable because somebody's standing right over her. So she tells him, "If you would know what I have, you wouldn't stand there. You would give me space." The guy moves away. There's somebody still sitting near her, so she can't be bispashtus. She can't. She wants to be more comfortable. So she tells the other guy, "If you knew what I had here, you wouldn't sit. You would give me the whole seat." So he also goes away. You know, yidna rachmana b'nei rachmana. Finally, there's a woman behind her. She says, "Givedet, ma yeshlach shama. What do you have there?" She says, "Chutzpah." Chutzpah. That's the power of chutzpah is, right? Rational people don't know what chutzpah is. That's why in all the PR, right, the Arabs win over Israel. Israel's busy with calculations and tzvadas. We're more democratic than anybody ever was in history. Democracy in the Middle East is not a compliment. It's an insult. It means you're a shaita. Means you're dealing with Amalek. You think with rationality will show you how just we are. And the truth is, because when you're not in touch with your Chaya Yechida, it's very hard. It's taka very hard. You have to be in touch with your Chaya Yechida. And for Jews, it's hard to be in touch with their Chaya Yechida. Because they're trying to copy. When you're trying to copy somebody, you can't be in touch with your Chaya Yechida. So that's what he's saying here. So he's saying all midas rayas, it all starts with Amalek. If we want to use psychological terms, I can't help myself. If we want to use psychological terms, huh? Very good. Yeah. Essentially he's saying is there's always an element of trauma. There's an element of an irrational coping mechanism that you're responding to. if I was completely rooted in my seichel, even the seichel of the Nefesh HaBahamas, it wants to be a conduit for the Nefesh HaLikus. It's called living a really healthy life. The hierarchy of reality is the only hierarchy you want to respect, because it's like, imagine you're a refrigerator, okay? Just forgive my example. Imagine you're a refrigerator, right? And you're plugged in, and it's gewaldi, the electricity is coming, and the refrigerator is fresh and alive, and all the food is good. Imagine you were the refrigerator, you'll forgive my mushel. And then one day you say, you know what? I'm done with this wall. I want to be a free refrigerator. I want to be a liberated, emancipated refrigerator. I'm done with being stuck into this stupid wall of yours. And the refrigerator, I don't know how, but it hires people, and it pulls out the plug. And you know the end of the story, yeah? Yizgadal v'yizkadash. Right? That's the end. It's dead. For a refrigerator to be plugged in is not pressure. It's not nebach. You have to live with this burden. It's plugged in to electricity. That's the flow. Now think about this here. For the refrigerator to be plugged in only makes it a refrigerator that's functional. But here, the plugging in actually allows you to live, to exist. So plugging in simply means I'm plugging into the source of electricity. Like it says in Chassidus, Dabrel Bnei Yisrael, V'yikhu li truma. Should have said, V'yitnu li truma. You don't take contributions, you give contributions. The pshat is, all giving to Hashem is a form of V'yikhu. Not in a selfish way. V'yikhu means you're taking, you're plugging yourself into the source of life. What does it take for a person to eat healthy? Why do people not eat healthy? It's chutzpah. It's a form of amalek. There's something here. It's going to make your body align. But there's a voice in me that's why I'm calling it trauma. There's a voice that's not rational. The voice either says, you don't deserve to look good. You don't deserve to be healthy. You have a void in me, and this cheesecake is going to somehow fill it and make me a happy person. There's a lifestyle, and then it becomes already seichel midas, but it all begins with amalek. It all begins with a force inside of me that somehow makes me feel unworthy, makes me feel alone, isolated, not plugged into the source. Once that happens, everything comes afterwards. The Nefesh HaBahamas, there's seichel, there's midas. Already, Al-Malik will develop a whole beautiful philosophy. He'll create cheers in the universities. He'll be sponsored by Qatar. They'll already teach everything they have to teach to enlighten students about human rights. One of the most interesting things about this October 7th is I don't know if you saw the group of gays pro-Hamas. it's unbelievable. LGBT fighting for Hamas. Right? Fun. I'm not going to be Maidach. The same is true in a person's life. There's voices that are born in us and coping mechanisms that take us away from alignment. Reishis Goyim, it always begins with Amalek. That's what he's saying. Al pi seichel, without the gaiva, b'li tam, even mitzat seichel, there's no makom for an inyan al pi teira. Teira mitzvah is a blueprint for a life of alignment, of being plugged in 24/7. That's what it is. That's what it is. When a Jew goes away from Shulchan Aruch, they're not going away only from a system of halacha. They're going away from life, from living fully, from being present to yourself, from being present to the source of electricity in life. And yeah, it's very easy. It's very easy to be derailed, but it's rooted in a place that's not al-pisech. When a person is aligned and present and integrated and fully connected and they're conscious, when I'm sober, when I'm not drunk, when I'm sober, and it's hard to be sober. I don't mean here drunken with alcohol. It could be drunk with thoughts, drunk with coping mechanisms. When a person is sober, he says there's no makim for inyan shein al pitayin. Ela sheyesh la inyan agayva belitam, shureishes goyim, shayda shumakir, sheyucha liyas makim bavana vasaga de seichel, shemezeh yum shachmidas loy tovis midas royas. There's something called Reishis Goyim Amalek. That itself is beyond Tam. But this creates a source that suddenly I develop a personality and I develop a philosophy and I develop a theology and I develop a whole Weltanschauung with comprehension, with seichel. Ultimately, with the seven Midas Loitovus, Midas Rais. In other words, we're learning here Midas Rais, not like people learn. Midas Rais is my natural self. I have to work my whole life to suppress my Midas Rais and have Midas Tovus and become an Edela Erlechayid. It's Punkt Fakert. The harder work is Midas Rais, not Midas Tovus. Midas Tovus means Midas that reflect who you really are. Now, Ayah Pera Adam Yivali, the person is not born with the susceptibility, Yetzer Lev Adam Raminurav. Right? These coping mechanisms are not created at 30 years old. They're very, very young and very, very early on. But we have to identify what it is. Midas Rais means broken Midas. Midas that come from my detachment, from my separateness. And they exist in me, and I need to confront them, I need to work with them. So that's what he says, Reish Goyim Amalek. It's always rooted in Amalek, which there's no tam there. It's an inyan of chutzpah. It's an inyan of chutzpah? It's a statement of reality that's not based in the truth of reality. It's based on a cover-up in reality. And that's what happens. What happens is, I develop a way of looking at the world and a coping mechanism, and as a result of these coping mechanisms, I become alienated from who I really am, my true power, my true greatness, my true authenticity, and most importantly, my divinity, the fact that I'm a manifestation of divinity. And because I don't recognize that, I unplug, and I now have to create a life as an independent dead refrigerator. How do you make a life from a dead refrigerator? Solar panels would be good. Then you're connecting to Shemesh Amog and Hashem Elokim. So what do? Right? It's like the story of the Jew in the zoo. You know the story. There was a Jew who owned a zoo. He needed to make money. So what did he do? He had an attraction, a cage, and on the cage it said, Mashiach is here. V'gar ze'evim keves. The wolf lives with the lamb. And he had in the cage, he had a wolf and he had a lamb. And they both sat. And everybody came to see this messianic phenomenon. A zoo where the Mashiach already came. V'gar ze'evim keves. And all the Christians came, Kamuvan. You know, he had 50,000 Christians a day. The guy became, he made a mint. One day, an Alta Yidala comes to the zoo. He takes a look. He calls over the owner. He says, Zag me de emes, Ganev. Tell me the truth. He says, yeah, Mashiach is here. The Avim Kevin. He says, how do you get the wolf and the lamb to sit? He says, a new lamb every day. It's not a problem. They say a maisa that there was once a fox. Fox was very hungry. And the fox saw a beautiful bird on the tree, and he wanted him for lunch. So how does he get the bird to come down? Fox will climb up. The bird flies away. So he tells the bird that everyone is saying that this is the time of Mashiach, and by Mashiach, you know, all the animals will get along. So you could come down already, and we're going to live in peace. And the fox starts preaching, you know, Higiyas Mangolaschem, Anovim Higiyas Mangolaschem. All the good things. Achakaloi b'chayim shiyave. Atat, atat. And the bird is an edel creature. So, you know, she starts coming down and it's wonderful. At that moment, there was a hunter coming to hunt. So, you know, you send the dogs to be able to snuff out the animals. So the fox sees the dogs coming. So the fox starts running. So the bird says, Vulaif, still where you running? He says, they're coming to hunt me. So the bird said, you said the Mashiach is here. There's not going to be any hunting anymore. He says, yeah, but they hint, Gloibinish, the Mashiach. The dogs don't believe in Mashiach. What's the Nakuda here? If the refrigerator is dead, yeah, so what do? I have to put in every few minutes fresh food, a new lamb I have to put in fresh food. That's what distractions are. Every few minutes, I need new food in the refrigerator to make believe the refrigerator is working. Why? Because it's unplugged. When the refrigerator is plugged in, it has a natural flow of energy. It's not in fatigue. It's not exhausted because it's naturally flow. And that's the whole avodah of the Nefesh HaLikis with the Nefesh HaBahamas, to plug in the Nefesh HaBahamas every single day. But that takes a constant awareness. The Hind Gleibenish to Mashiach. Reish is Goyim, the beginning of all Midas Rayas, is something that's not Al Pi Seichel. Al Pi Seichel, Al pisechel, a person is aligned. We're manifestations of divinity. We're not separate. The life of Torah is the life of optimal health. Why would any person want to live a life in which they're not aligned, in which there's a disruption of energy? So if you go back to the core, you will see that there's an irrational voice inside of you. You could check it out. You don't have to. This is something you don't have to believe. There's always that's Amalek, because it's not a rational voice. You say, come on. Every taiva, some are rational. No, that's what he says. Gam mitzad haseichel ein esinus makom linyan sheni al pitayda. But the truth is, we don't live our lives governed by rationality, because we're not computers. We live with passion. We live with emotion. Most importantly, we live with coping mechanisms. That's what we do. We need to survive. And the Nefesh HaBam has learned to survive. And somehow, what I'm attracted to or what I'm running away from is threatening my survival. Is it really threatening my survival? That's completely irrelevant. How can I fix that? Not with cheshbonus of seichel, because it didn't happen that way. It's the emes, that Yesh is goyim amalek. But the healing always comes from a place that's much deeper than seichel. When a person does his avodah maschil ba'avodah d'tzehi lochem ba'amalekai de'b'char lanu anoshim, and he begins with fighting amalek how? Through b'char lanu anoshim sheboicher ba'atzma yesa inyan da'anshe Moshe. Moshe says you have to choose our people. You have to choose to fight amalek. B'char lanu anoshim. Every Jew needs to choose to reveal the Moshe inside. When a person chooses to become Anshe Moshe, it's a choice. B'char lanu anoshim. On one hand, b'char means choose. Individually, it means choose to be Anshe Moshe. Choose the bittul of Chaya and Yechida. Choose it. B'char lanu anoshim. It's not going to be automatic. Automatic, I'm default mode, I'm just going to go the same way. You have a person could live 50, 60, 70 years and not change a thing. It's sometimes fascinating. You have a person, but they haven't changed. Same responses, same triggers, same reactions, same thing. There was certainly no Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. Yitzias Mitzrayim every day means, Sadar Naya Mensch, there's a new person. So for this, I have to be b'char lanu anoshim, not just be in autopilot. Autopilot, you can't change things. You can't create new neural pathways. Yitzias Mitzrayim and Tzehi Lachem Ba'amalek doesn't happen through being in autopilot. It's being conscious. It's being aware. It's taking a stand. B'char lanu anoshim. Choose to reveal in yourself the b'chin of Anshe Moshe. Become Moshe as a person. What does it mean, Moshe as a person? Ayid of Chaya Yechida. As I poil ba Malik Shia ba Charisay Adei Oivichi is Bata Legamri. The Kivin Shizawinian Shal Chutzpah Vagaiva Belitam Ain Kaninian Shiuchal is Bara. The Nikuda of a Malik is Adei Oivid. It becomes Bata because since it's an element of Chutzpah and Gaiva without a Tam, there's nothing you could be Mevarer. On this we say Hashem made a covenant with Avraham Avinu. The seven tribes of Canaan. The seven midis Avraham Avinu has the koyach to be mevadered all the seven midas through the Avodah. So Amalek is the beginning of everything, and therefore at the end, he has to go. Achrisi Adei Oved. But all the midas over there, there's no Adei Oved. They could all be Nizpara. They can all be elevated. They can all be sublimated. The animal soul doesn't have to be destroyed. On the contrary, it has to be educated, enlightened. The body, Chas V'Shalom, to destroy it. It's your Beis HaMikdash. It's your conduit. It needs to become aligned, not destroyed. But there's that nekuda of Amalek. There's that feeling that it's like a juk. What's it? It's a juk. Vizakman a juk. It's like a program code that woes in and it has to be spit out. You have to, this is out, finished. This, it's like a self-destructive code, you know? Huh? Like a bug, like sometimes in the body, this chas v'shalom, right? It attacks the very, the very system, and you start fighting against yourself. We know some diseases, the power of the disease is it uses the healthy cells to start fighting against themselves. Autoimmune disease. So Amalek comes in, and now he uses everything already. He uses your seichel, and he uses your midas. It all becomes a greater philosophy, one big philosophy. What's philosophy? One philosophy. It's not philosophy. It's Amalek. So that nekuda, when I have to confront that, it's like almost a dibuk. You have to spit it out. Achrisi adeyovet. Once that happens, then you could see that the midas are really, it's little animals that are looking. They need attention. The nefesh abamis is a behemoth. It's not evil. Its midas could all be aligned, could all be sublimated. But the amale giving it fuel, that chutzpah, that gaiva b'li tam, that's achrisi adeyovet. That you can't be mevarer. Why? Because it's not saying anything. All it's saying is whatever you're doing is wrong. Somebody told me yesterday something very deep about themselves. I was very nispal from the vart. And now I understand it. This is a person who went through a lot in life. Very difficult, very, very difficult things. Shaloi Bedara Du'una, even when, in terms of what people go through, this was like a different level. I'm not gonna get graphic and detailed, but the worst of the worst, and coming from people that were so close to this person. So it was really unbelievable, and as very often happens, the system shuts down and doesn't allow you to even know anything. So this person was telling me that one of their greatest struggles is that whenever they open their mouth, afterwards, they regurgitate what they said for like a few days. Anybody relates to this? You say something and then you like, there's like an inner critic that's 24/7 is telling you how stupid you were and you shouldn't have opened your mouth and everybody makes fun of you and it was the stupidest thing. It's like an inner shame. Sometimes people who give classes have this. You give a class and then for a few days, what did I say? I didn't say it. Did they like it? They didn't like it. They almost liked it. They could have liked it. They should have liked it. Nobody came over to me. Oh, somebody did come over to me. It could go crazy. But this person was telling me generally. So that's why they don't speak. When they do, it's so much, there's so much shame involved. Explain to me, because there's like this inner core of like, the only way you'll survive is, you're not let a whole, you're not say anything, you're not have an opinion. Yeah. Just like a constant shame. So this person was telling me that they were sitting at a shir and sharing something. And they shared a lot, uncharacteristically. Sharing good stuff. And intelligent stuff. But the whole week, this person couldn't deal with the shame of why did I say something or why did I open my mouth? So I asked, I just wanted to try to understand. I asked, but you said there was intelligent things, so why? You don't understand. It doesn't have to do with the facts. My trauma is waiting to come out. Wherever it can attach itself to something, it attaches itself to something. Oh, I spoke? It has something. The facts are not negeya. It needs to come out. So it waits. It waits. Right? And anything that happens, it attaches itself to this. I would have been quiet. It would have attached itself to the silence. I spoke. It attached itself to the words. Its point was, acharise adei oive, to destroy me. That's its job. Now, in its crazy, ridiculous way, it's also trying to protect me. because it thinks I'm so evil or so horrible that if I want to be protected, so in its own Meshuggah way, it's trying to protect me. To let go of that is not so easy. And that doesn't do with rationale. That's Acharisei Deyovet. To sit and arguing, no, I'm really a rational person, I really have things to say. The moment you start arguing with your mental chatter, you lost. It wasn't so bad, it was, not everybody hated it. It's not if you're right or wrong. You went into an orbit where you'll never win. All it wants is to keep you engaged in an incessant battle of anxiety. That's all it wants. There's an element of acharisei edoy oivid. Why? Because it's be'etzem oivid. That's all it's trying to do, to destroy you. The other seven in Yonim, all the middos are ready. It may be reishis goyim, but it's not acharisei edoy oivid, v'chores in my abris. There's a process of the nefesh elevating the nefesh abahamas. That's what he says. Sheyuchel avarer ma'idei avidas, shas chalosu v'yiseidu in the kabbalah sel. The beginning of avodah is kabbalah oil, accepting the yoke of Hashem, which is the hierarchy that we spoke about. Hashem, the nefesh alakiz, the nefesh abaham is the guf. And with this, you connect with the avoid of chaya yichida, shechavuku dvuka boch, which is always one with you. The kivun shenot chilas and besayfon, since it says in Sefer Yetzirah, the beginning is etched in the end. Lachen kshura avoid of shemitzat chaya yichida. Im avoid of the poel mamish. So the avodah of chayi yichida is always connected to the lowest places. No, it's tchilos b'soifon. With the avodah of poyel, mamish, kabbalas oil. It's not like chayi yichida are all the way up there and ma'isa b'poyel is all the way down there. No, it's tchilos b'soifon. The beginning and the end are always connected. Vayideizim avarares ha-shiva ha-mamin. And that's how you sublimate the seven nations. Shenoysen l'cha nachala l'rishta. Hashem gave them as a nachala, as an inheritance. For Avram Avinu to inherit. So Eretz Knan is transformed into Eretz Yisrael. You see, this is what Israel has to say about Eretz Yisrael. This nobody can argue with. They have a ma'aseh with a green line. Israel has a thing with a green line. It's a fictional way for secular Democrats and Westerners to believe that the world will love Israel because we have a green line. Before the green line, it's democratic. After the green line, it's fundamentalist, radical settlers who are messianists. The only problem is that green line is a fictional Jewish idea that none of its neighbors agree. As far as our neighbors are concerned, every Jew in Israel is a settler, and every centimeter in Israel is occupation. The green line was a way of reconciling the state of Israel with secular democracy. But none of the neighbors believe it, accept it. The only real thing is Jews have to say, you guys read the Bible, you believe in the Bible. Christians, Muslims, so hundreds of times God said this is one piece of land he gave the Jewish people. This is our job to bring holiness here to this piece of land. This is the only real taina. A grain line, shmin line, you see the results. It's a mockery, that becomes a mockery of the world. But this needs a nekud of chaya yichida. So Mela, what happens here? He says, with the beginning of Kabbalah soil, which is connected to chaya yichida, you can be mevada the seven middos. Because if a person is missing the Kabbalah soil, they don't have respect for the hierarchy, they ultimately won't be able to be mevada the seven middos. Because I get it tangled. Kabbalah Sel means accepting the yoke of Malchus Shemaim. Here again, people think it's a negative thing. It's the most liberating thing in the world. The most liberating thing in the world is to accept the hierarchy of reality and not fight it. Because it's your own hierarchy. It's your own system. It's like I decide, yeah, I don't need oxygen. I don't respect oxygen. Who decided I need oxygen? I don't need food. I don't need... Shvua shalo yishan. The Gemara says, Shvua shalo yishan. You make a shvua. I'm not sleeping anymore. I don't have to sleep 3 days. The Gemara says, you give him malchus and you put him to sleep. Give him malchus and put him to sleep, this shaita. Shvua, I make a shvua. I'm not eating. Who says I have to eat? Moshe didn't eat. I don't have to eat. 7 days I'm not eating. You give him malchus and you give him a good meal. In other words, Kabbalah's oil, people think I'm accepting a yoke. I don't like to accept yokes. I don't need yokes. I want to be a free person. It's like a person on a tree says, there's a cliff, you're on a cliff. You say, I don't need, you know, I don't need somebody to save me. I'm a bird, I'm going to fly. Good luck. I don't respect hierarchies. Kabbalah Sel means tuning into truth. Shaita. It's called, if you have a Kabbalah Sel, there's a real hierarchy. You want to deny it, fine, decide you're a bird. Gesundheit, jump off the mountain. You could fly, fine, Chfaginder. People think Kabbalah Sel, you know, accepting the yoke. What yoke? I do not need a washing machine on my head. Kabbalah Sel is the most liberating thing. It's tuning into the fact that there's a real hierarchy. There's the creator of the world, there's Hashem, there's a Nefesh HaLikiz, there's a Nefesh HaBahamas, and there's a Guf. When they're in that order, a person can have peace in life. The moment I play with that hierarchy, now I constantly need substitutes and distractions. So once the person has that yisoid of Kabbalah Sol, which is rooted in Chaya Yechida, no, it's soifon betchilason, then I could conquer the seven nations. V'charis imay abris lazaz eretz haKnani. And make it Eretz Yisrael. Knan becomes Eretz Yisrael. And then it says, V'hoya b'niyach Hashem alakecha l'cha mikolei v'echa. Ba'aretz asher Hashem alakecha n'os l'cha nachla l'rishta timcha zechir amalek. Zechir amalek. When Hashem allows you to be in all the in that land, it says that the pasuk says, right? We're going to read Parsha Zohar. V'hoya b'niyach Hashem alakecha l'cha mikolei v'echa misaviv. In the land that he gave you to inherit, over there, wipe out the zechir of amalek. In Parshas Kiseitze, it says, you should wipe him out. In Parshas Beshalach, he says, I will wipe out Amalek. Hashem fights. So he says, whose fight is it? You do it or I do it? The student, he says, you do it. B'shalach, he says, I will do it. Machay emcha zecher amalek. Moshe tells, right, he says, k'soiv zoi zikadim b'sefer, sim bozni Yeshua. Zomulcham al Hashem ba'amalek, b'dor yedor, I'm going to erase it. But in Kiseitzis, so he says, azay. Even though there's the milchama of Hashem against the Malik in every generation. And what does it mean? Midor dor, midor the almadein, umidor the mashichik, mashichasa betargum. Targum Yenisim ben Usil says, midor dor means this generation of this world, and even when Mashiach comes, the future generations. That's midor dor. Hine aide iskashrus in Moshe, she is pashtusi b'chol dor v'dorah. Shomam shechasa avayda de mesiris nefesh. Shetum shech v'tifel ba'avayda shemesad nefesh roch neshama. Azay nasis al yadoy erfir durech amal chamal avayya ba'amalek medar yadoy. So he says, Yomayri de kevart. Since the war against Amalek is through Chaya Yechida, so on the level of Yechida, you and Hashem are one. So b'meila, Hashem says, it's my fight. But on the level of Yechida, you're a conduit. So b'meila, it goes through you. Because it's not separate. So because there's a connection of Moshe, there's kashrus with Moshe, and it says that the spashtus, it says in Zohar, that the spashtus of Moshe is in every day, you know, there's a b'chin of Moshe in every single generation, the Moshe of every generation. So by the hiskashrus, that alignment with Moshe, what's the union of Moshe? Complete bittel of Chaya Yechida, that's what it means to be Anshe Moshe. Anshe Moshe means, it's not Moshe as Moshe, it's Moshe who's the whole nekud of Moshe, is bittel v'nachnu ma. So Moshe helps the Jew access this avoid of Mesidus Nefesh. Even in Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, that it should be connected with Chaya Yechida, like we learned before, Vateira Yisik Kitovu. So therefore, the Melchama of Hashem against Amalek is channeled through Moshe, Pchar Lanu Anoshem, in every generation, even in the day of Mashiach. Bevias Mashiach Tzidkeinu B'meina B'yameinu.
Okay. This part of Moshe is in every year.
That's what he says, Moshe is in every Jew.
Before he said that, Chai Yechida cannot go into a place where they're still talking about.
When Yechida gets revealed, there's no Taruvus Tavira. For it to be Behislapshus, like Nefesh Ruach Neshama, before the Birur, it won't be able to be Chai Yechida. It's not soivel at taruvas
toivera.
You have to clear it out.
That doesn't mean that as long as a person has not in the chemist moshe.
A person has always chayi yichida, but the question is how embodied is it? When yichida comes out, there's no room, it's yichida, it's yachid. There's no room for anything else. In other words, it's an expression, tahore nayim mira oiz bira. Pure eyes don't see ra. It's like allergic. I'm not even going to see it. It's a story about Reb Nachum of Chernobyl. You know the Maisa? Huh? Urei betuv Yerushalayim. Reb Nachum of Chernobyl, they say it was once Friday night, and he went into a room, and he started to touch the walls, like when somebody is in the pitch dark and you don't want to fall. At Ketabet event, he was touching the walls. It was light. There was a candle burning. Or a lantern, whatever. There was something burning. But So it's very strange. So they said to him, why are you touching the walls? He says, it's a finster, it's dark. Later they found out that the candle was kindled on Shabbos in a forbidden way. And it was usher to have anah from it. Because if a guy does a malacha for a Jew on Shabbos, or I think actually it was a Jew who put it on, you're not allowed to have anah from it. So they asked him, what's pshat? So they say that he said, Chazal say about chalav akum, chalav shechal v'yakum, v'ein yisro re'ehu. Milk that was milked by a non-Jew, and a Jew doesn't see it. So he said, the pshat is, chalav shechal v'yakum, ein yisro re'ehu. If it's chalav shechal v'yakum, the yisro doesn't see it. Chnishkezen. Well, what's pshat? It wasn't an avoided by him. He wasn't a chas v'shalom making shtick. The purity of his soul, it wouldn't allow him to experience this light. He was like allergic to it. So he didn't see it. His soul couldn't see this light. So it was dark. I wouldn't have a problem seeing the light. And most people were doing it probably b'shoigig, whatever. You can't blame them. They didn't know where the candle came from. But the point is, by him, yeah. The Gemara says, "La yuuna letzadik kol oven." Right? Tosfos explains in Gittin, "Mamida da'achila." In other words, ma'aseh with the Pinchas ben Yair, a tzadik, non-kosher food, he's not nichshel in it. Even the donkey of the Pinchas ben Yair wouldn't eat tevel, the thing that didn't have truma in mind. What's pshat? But the donkey of the Pinchas ben Yair was so affected by him that it was like allergic to food that doesn't belong to it. Like it says, Avraham Avinu's animals wouldn't pasture in fields that don't belong to them. Loyon Sadeh Kol Oven means there's an energy. We're connected to things by energy. You know, your body is so refined. This food is not for me. Just like people who are very sensitive, right? This food I'm not going to touch. On a deeper sensitive level, the body feels this is not for me. Why? It knows. You understand? So the certain levels of self, if it's going to be revealed, it has to be clean. It has to be clean. Sedav Zayin Rein. If it's not clean, it's not going to be there. Just like you have a self-respecting person doesn't go to certain places. Yeah? Why don't you go to certain places? You're going to walk in, you're going to vomit. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Huh? You don't know what I'm talking about. There's places that if someone is in touch with their soul, if you walk into these places, you start vomiting. Or you get nauseous, you go home sick. Certain clubs, whatever, places. Other people, that's where they get their chayas from every night, especially Thursday night. Right? What does that do? They're like detached from themselves. They're clogged. There's such a lack of sensitivity. Certain people, yeah, they have certain conversations. Yeah. Others, they get sick from it. Lashon hara, rechilas, dirt, filth. Some people, they're chayas. They come alive from these conversations. My wife got a text from somebody. She showed it to me. She couldn't understand it. I said, what do you want? The person never learned chassidus. Was vilstu. Text was that in the schus of somebody, if my wife, I guess she sent it out to or he sent, whatever, someone sent it out to a few people. The schus of this person, if you could please take 2 hours out of the day, and those 2 hours don't talk Lashon Hara. Just 2 hours. 2 hours. So these 2 hours, I'm not going to talk Lashon Hara. For the schus, for this person. So my wife shows me, she says, I don't understand. And after the 2 hours, and before the 2 hours, and he said, why would anybody want, why would anybody want to talk Lashon Hara? Now, the person meant well. They meant 2 hours, be careful what comes out of your mouth. That, fine. It's a good thing, fine. But you understand the chilek. Someone's like, Lashon Hara is, it's conversation. Do me a favor, 2 hours, haltzachain, and be, you know, be the good, holy robot who doesn't talk Lashon Hara. You're missing the whole inyan. Huh? And sometimes, yeah, we need 2 hours. Okay, start with 2 hours, you know. Tainis dibur. But the nekuda is, you want to be in a space. Say, that's a chnesh Lashon Hara. What are you busy with Lashon Hara? What, you have nothing better to do with your life. It's a contamination. What's going to sit here in shul and start talking about my kids, how horrible they are? I mean, imagine a father sits down here and starts talking about how horrible his kids are, how horrible his wife is. I mean, I know some people do it. You're sitting here and telling me about your wife, how horrible she is, your kids, that they're sick people. You're crazy. You need help. So why should I talk about God's kids and sit down and start telling how, I mean, if you're talking about something productive and meaningful, and I understand, you go to somebody to talk about your kids, you're having a challenge, but to sit and to talk bad about people, well, for what? For one. I don't mean to disagree. I mean, I don't mean to disagree with somebody. A lot of disagree. I'm not even talking about bringing out an idea. We're talking about, you understand the vart. So, Tahari and I, but there's certain people, the moment you become sensitive, you can't go to these places. Why? They're sickening places. Another person is not sensitive. So saying on the level of Chaya Yechid, if it's going to come in, there can't be a Taruvus Tevet out there. It can't. It's Nish Soivel. It's not Soivel that Reyach. Can't be Soivel. I'll tell you an interesting Maisa that happened. It's a Maisa Shahaya. You know Bob Dylan is? So Bob Dylan, in America, he's considered one of the biggest stars. One of the biggest. Anok Shabanokim. A Yiddish Engel, I think his name is Shapsi Zimmerman, okay, Bob Dylan, he's an icon of the 60s and the 70s, rock culture, an icon of icons. So he, when I was a kid, he would come a lot, he would come once in a while, Friday night at 770, dressed up, he wears rags, homeless, looks like a homeless guy, so nobody would know that this person is one of the wealthiest and most famous people in the world. He would come as I dressed, much like a homeless beggar. I don't know why, but he would come once in a while. Few people knew who he was. Once, he decided to come to a Fabrengen Shabbos of the Rebbe, of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Shabbos afternoon. He's going to come. And the person who was bringing him notified the Rebbe that Bob Dylan is going to be there Shabbos. So the Rebbe asked the secretary, one who was Rabbi Krinsky, who had told him, the Rebbe would speak in Yiddish. So he said, he'll stand near somebody, somebody will stand near him, and between the sichas, he'll translate, he'll explain to him what the Rebbe said. Okay, the Rebbe said, fine. Bob Dylan came, he stood, Rebbe was sitting, he stood on the left side, he was in a hood, he looked like a schlepper, a homeless beggar, but he was there. The Seder by the Rebbe's Fabrengens was between Sichas, there were Negunim. The Rebbe would speak, let's say half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it was, 20 minutes. There was a Nigun, people would say L'chaim, and then the Rebbe would start the next talk. This went on for a few hours. And everybody would pick up a cup of wine, and the Rebbe would look at every person who said L'chaim, and he would say L'chaim V'levarach, L'chaim V'levarach, L'chaim V'levarach. There'd be thousands of people, everyone, he looked L'chaim V'levarach. So after the first Sicha, Bob Dylan picked up a cup of wine, And the Rebbe was looking, the Rebbe would look around by this nigun of something. He would be, you could see if it's chvatracht a little bit, but then he would look. And he stared at him, but he wouldn't say l'chaim. He said l'chaim, the person near him, right, left, above, on bottom, ignored him. And then the next sikha again, a whole fabrengen. He picked up his cup, and he wouldn't say l'chaim to him. So my sashayim. So Shabbos or Sunday, the Rebbe asked the secretary, what happened to Bob Dylan? You said that he's going to come to the Fabrengen. So, he said, Es geven. The Rebbe said, Es geven, chunish gezen. He said, yes, yeah, geven, he was there. The Rebbe said, you sure he was there? Said, yeah. The Rebbe was surprised. He says, okay. So it was very funny. It was a strange thing. So they didn't know. It was a pella of a zach. I think they asked, there was the Rav there, was Reb Zalman Shimon Dvorkin. He was a big Rav, a big Pesach, a big one. He learned by the Rebbe Rashab and Lubavitch. I think they asked him, or they asked somebody else, a bardas, a very prominent person. It was a person who had a hamtzah, he had an idea. He said that Bob Dylan converted to Christianity. I know, but this is then. He converted to Christianity. La halacha, ayid is ayid, but you have to go to the mikveh. Because of the conversion, you have to go to the mikveh. He says, could I to ask Bob Dylan if he ever went to the mikveh, and if he ever decided consciously to become back a Jew? He said, no, he never did. He converted to Christianity, and that was it. You know, life moved on. Huh?
By the beach, Landry, now knowing.
You convert, you go back to the, you go to the mikveh. It's not a form of gay, it's not gaitis because you're a yid, but, yeah, he converted, it's a big thing, it's a shmad. So this person said, it was a fabrengen. He should go to the mikveh this week. He went to the mikveh, Shabbos, he came back, he picked up his cup, the Rebbe looked, l'chaim v'l'vracha. It was an interesting thing. The Rebbe didn't see that he was there. He looked at the secretary, he says, Es geven? He says, yeah. This is the Indian. It's like the story of Reb Nachum Chernobyl. This is a Maisa Shahaya. Chemanish gezen. And, you know, by the Rebbe, if you knew the Rebbe, there was no such a thing as a guzma. There was no shtick, no guzma. It was pshittis. It was chemanish gezen. It wasn't like there was no Baba Maises. There was no, he was wondering. He said, okay, I didn't see him. He said, that was staring, but he didn't see him. Maybe he saw that there's something that he can't see. I don't know. I'm not going to give a commentary because I don't know about this. I see things. Even I see people who didn't go to the mikveh. Also, I still today didn't go to the mikveh yet. My nekuda is, you understand what I'm saying? Tahoyde naim and oiz bina. Sometimes you're rooted in such a place that the neshama in chaya yichidah is not going to be anything else. If the zira, he's not in that space. So for chaya yichidah, bibi eslapshus, it has to be a place there's no taruvas taivira. By Moshe Rabbeinu, vateira oisi ki toivu. That's why, you have people, they're nizer in a dikto kal shall divide seifrim, yeah. So sometimes, you know, frum is not always a compliment, you know, it's a frum, it's like a fakvetch to frum a guy, right? That's when it's done in a way of fakvetched kait. But sometimes it's exact opposite. It's actually very liberating. It's, you know, when your antennas, when they're not clean, and you start having static, it's called brain fog. They don't want to live with brain fog. They don't want to live with soul fog. You know, people who are, their bodies are sensitive. I know I'm going to eat one little rugula. I'm not going to be in optimal health today. Why should I do it? Why should I clog my system? I can eat a salad at the bris. Why should I eat the cake? Other people, they don't care. What's the difference? They may not feel it. Other people feel it, but they have a taiva. Their coping mechanism. You understand? The same is true in Ruchnias. You why should I clog? I'm not going to clog my antennas. And even a dikto kal shel divrei seifrim, if you're a sensitive person, it's The neshama wants dveikus. That's what it doesn't want to go out of it. I'm not going to speak lashon hara for 3 minutes. Why should I speak? It doesn't work that way. You could ask whatever you want. Avada.
I look at myself and I see that there's a lot of tov. There's a lot of negative tov. Does that mean that I can't connect the chayyim?
That's a good question. You look at yourself and you see this toiv and there's other things. Doesn't mean you can't connect to Chai Yechida. No, it means, like we say, every person has a pchina of Moshe. But it means that for the Chai Yechida to be behislapshos, to embody it, the person needs to realize how sensitive the Yechida and the Chai is to an inyan of Ra. It like expels it. It's like, if you want me, it has to be kula shali, not chetzya shali. It has to be kula shali. You have to be completely in the flow. You know, you can't be mekudosh lachatzoyin. Verstehst? The Gemara in Kedushin speaks about chetzyeich mekudeshesli. Half of you is going to be mekudosh, right? The woman says, half of me is mekudosh to you, my other half, I don't know. It's not Kedushin. Why not? 50% is so bad. Yeah, 50% of your wife, schlecht. Some people don't even get that. Was ist schlecht? So a Yid comes to Hashem and he says, Chetzi mekudeshes lecha. Half of me is mekudesh to you. The other half, we don't know yet. That's what you have to know. Yechida needs exclusivity and intimacy. It's like in a relationship. For a marriage to be really successful, it has to be kula shali. The husband belongs to his wife not 90% and not 99% and not 99.9%. 100%. Because that fraction of a percent undermines the realness of it, the oneness of it. And the same is true the other way. A woman needs to belong to her husband not 99.99999%. And if yeah, the whole 99% is going to be different. You know, what's the big deal? Is what little fraction here that everything else is different. There's no full trust. If there's no full trust, there's no full connection. There's no full connection, I'm going to go to other places to compensate. It may be subtle stuff. It may be subtle stuff. And I'm not saying that a person who has a good marriage shouldn't have other friends. I'm not saying that. You should have a lot of friends. And it's good for women to have friends, and it's good for men to have friends. I'm not talking about that. But there's something about the exclusivity that exists only when it's complete, when it's absolute. The Alter Rebbe had a chassid, Rebbe Kusiel Liepler, Rebbe Kushel Liepler. I'm sorry, the Pinchas Reizes. He was once sick. He used to come Sukkos, Simchas Torah. He was once sick, so he couldn't come. So he stayed home. And it was Shmini Atzeres, he was in the sukkah. And in the middle, out of nowhere, he said, "Ay Rebbe! Ay Rebbe!" It was a little bit of a pella. Anyway, the chassidim who traveled afterwards to Lyozhna, so they asked over there people who were there if something happened, Shmini Atzeres, and they said, "Yeah, the Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe. Was sitting in the sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, we sit in the sukkah, and he mentioned the Pinchas Reizes. He wanted to know how he is and why he's not there. And they realized that when the Alter Rebbe mentioned him, he screamed, "Ay Rebbe." So they went back to him. And they said, "Well, Moifsim, you started to make Moifsim." They didn't like it. If they give you Malkus, you're making Moifsim. So he says, "No, it wasn't a Moifus. Ruach HaKadosh?" "No, it wasn't Ruach HaKadosh." He says, "Ich hab ibe gegeben, my nefesh ruach and neshama zum Rebbe. My nefesh ruach and neshama are the Rebbe's." So when the Rebbe mentioned him, he felt it. He said it wasn't a moifes, it wasn't ruach hakodesh. His nefesh ruach and neshama belonged to the Alter Rebbe. So it's like the wire is connected, you understand? So the Alter Rebbe. Alter Rebbe mentioned him, he felt it. My point is, when there's a relationship that's a connection, it's exclusive. In Chaya Yechida, it's exclusive. I can't be Pesach al Shtei Asif.
have the malik. But, you know, fighting a malik all the time, so how do you have 100%?
You don't fight a malik all the time. You can't fight a malik all the time.
He comes back.
He comes back. We don't fight a malik all the time. So that's the pshat. When chayi yichida beizgalos, it has to be fully. There can be a taruvas tayvira. And that's why it's not bizlapshus. Because it needs a completely clean keli. So in every person, that's true in every person. So the refinement of the keli is not what creates the chayi yichida. It creates a space where chayi yichida could be manifested. And it takes a lot, because if a person doesn't trust their marriage, they look into other places, right? So you have to trust your chayi yichida not to look in other places. People look in other places, right? Why? We like to have our eggs in different baskets. We like to invest in different companies. This company goes bankrupt, to have another company. But in spiritual life, it's toxic. Don't be mekudesh to two men. Like Eliyahu Hanavi says in the Haftarah of Kisisa, you know? In other words, if you're plugged in, you're plugged in. There's only one source. Either you're plugged into the source, or I'm not plugged into the source. If I'm plugged into the source, I'm plugged in. I don't need another source of electricity. I don't need another source of tainug. I don't need another source of life. If I'm halfway plugged in and there's static, so now maybe this one, I'll notch here, I'll notch there, I'll notch there.
Is this different than what Tzemach Tzedek asks him when he's 4 or 5 years old? And say, I want Hashem to appear for him to me, but...
The Rebbe Rashab. He said, why doesn't Hashem appear to us?
That sounds like, wow, this is impossible, or near impossible, not impossible, but very.
No, it shows who this child was. It shows what he was... Right, no, because when a person in the morning arouses their nefesh elikis, especially during davening or learning before davening, so then we have the capability of gaining control in our life, you know, creating a hierarchy. And yeah, during the day, there may be different things that come up, but you're anchored. There's a foothold, you're anchored. That's why the morning is so important. Because the morning sets the tone. The Baal Shem Tov once said that the first thought we have when we wake up sets the tone for the day. That's how we wake up, we say, Maidani. Because very often the thoughts come in, I'm worried, I'm stressed, I'm anxious, I'm confused, I'm overwhelmed. Right? So that first thought, sometimes there's thoughts I can't control, they come in. We're not talking about that. You have to have compassion. But I want to take control, and I want to say there's going to be a hierarchy today. The hierarchy today is Hashem, Nefesh Elikis, Nefesh Abham is Guva. You know what happens? The animal soul actually says, thank you. Thank you. It's almost like a child who's regulated because mommy has a clear schedule. And the child is like, thank you. Oh, there's a father in this house. There's a mother in this house. Thank you. You know houses where mothers and fathers don't know if they're the kids or they're the parents? The parents are supposed to put the kids to sleep. The kids are putting the parents to sleep. It's like, yeah, Tati, go to sleep. We'll take over the house. Who's supposed to make dinner? I don't know. There's no parents, right? So it looks like it's nice, right? The kids. Somebody once told me that the trauma of neglect is equal to the trauma of overbearing, of incessant pressure, of creating a boot camp in the house. That's the pressure, like I can't breathe. And this is the opposite. You can breathe alone. When there's a hierarchy in the house, it's refreshing. Like, oh, wow, there's somebody who's running this place. The poor animal soul doesn't have everything figured out. It's a behemoth. The nefesh elikis could say, don't worry, I'm in control. You're good, you're good. Your job is do the breathing, go to the bathroom, whatever you got to do. We're taking care, yeah? It's very refreshing for the nefesh elikis. It's much better. You're not a miserable person. So now when Amalek comes in, there's already a good fortress. What happened October 7th? I mean, I'm sorry for bringing this example, but it's a historic lesson because it's going to be recorded as one of the greatest failures in Israeli history, one of the greatest in Jewish history. It's that the Israel put its guard down. They didn't understand their enemy. They didn't understand their enemy because they were living in fiction. They were living in illusions. At best, there was a paradigm that was poisonous and toxic and ludicrous that set into the Jewish psyche. We were so busy telling ourselves we have achieved the success of the American-Israeli dream of the West. With our technology, we own the world, right? Somebody's going to breach a fence. our high-tech, we're the leaders of high-tech in the world. Somebody's going to breach our fence. You know how many computers we have? And they, the Hamasniks, Yimach Shemam, with their primal hatred and zeal, outsmarted the whole high-tech of Israel, one of the top high-tech societies in the whole world, right? Startup nation, together with Waze and all the good things. What's the point? The worst thing you could do with Amalek is put your guard down. Worst thing. They decide, why do we have, we have such enemies? Oh, we're democracies. Well, why should we have such enemies? Well, you're not rooted in Jewish history and Jewish identity. You don't know what anti-Semitism is, right? You don't know what Kedusha is. You don't know what Eretz Yisrael is. You don't know who you really are. That's what happened. Instead, we're fighting with each other. Yeah, Yom Kippur, no Yom Kippur, this type of court, reform, judicial reform, the Jews were busy fighting with each other, killing each other, and they were busy planning rape and another little Holocaust. They would do a big Holocaust if they could. Chas v'shalom. What's my point? Something for all of us to learn. Obviously not to compare the outer Hamas to the inner Hamas, but everything begins in subtlety. Malah ha'aretz Hamas. Yeah. A person needs to have an unbreachable fence. And high tech is not enough. You can't run your Nefesh HaBahamas with a joystick of a computer. You need to be vigilant. You need to be vigilant. There was an arrogance that set in, you know. I read that there was a girl, they had a bunch of females employed to watch, right? To watch the border. Because this was a good job for women. They're more attuned, they're more attentive. And doesn't require such physical labor. And they were sitting, and they were the tatspiniyot, they were called. The word in English is monitors. They monitored. And there was a woman there, a young woman, a girl. I saw her mother was speaking, and she kept on warning the high command that there's something going on in Gaza. There's something going on. There's unusual levels of training, preparation. One time, two times. At some point, her commander told her, one more time you come and drive me crazy about this, I'm going to fire you. In other words, suppress your knowledge. Now, I don't think, I'm not choshed that this was deliberate. He thought she was exaggerating. She was dramatic. She was overly emotional. But where does that come from? It comes from arrogance. I know he meant well. He didn't think that she's saying the truth, and he wanted chas v'shalom this should happen. I'm not choshed that. That he was a Rasha, such a Rasha. But my point is, when you're arrogant, you start thinking you know. When you're humble, you say, wait, let's check, let's scrutinize, let's go deeper, let's examine, right? There's an expression in Svarim of Musar, kol gay shoita. Gay is not gay, gay yud aleph. Kol gay shoita. Every arrogant person is a shoita. How do you know? The answer is, it's by definition. An arrogant person is a shoita. It's by definition. The moment I'm arrogant, I'm a shoita mamish. The prerequisite for all truth is humility. There was a huge physician in Vienna. His name was Dr. Semmelweis. In Vienna in the 1840s, I think crazy amounts of women who were giving birth were dying a few days later. 1 in 4, 1 in 5, to the point that where women refused to go to the hospital. They begged, they wanted to give birth in the streets because in the hospital, the percentage of women dying was disproportionate. They wanted to go to private doulas, private nurses, not to the hospitals, a Vienna hospital. And nobody could figure it out. Dafke in the hospital with the top doctors, Vienna was a center for medicine. It was a disproportionate amount of deaths a few days after they gave birth. So there was a Hungarian doctor, Semmelweis, I think his name was Semmelweis, and he figured it out. What did he say? The doctors were going from the corpses of the people that died, and they were going to the women to help them give birth. Nobody knew that you have to wash your hands. So they infected these women with a horrific disease infection. And a few days later, they died with tremendous yisur. So Semmelweis instituted that you have to you have to disinfect your hands. He had a type of chemical they used. So what did the medical community do? You think I'm joking. They put him into a mental asylum. Semmelweis was institutionalized as a meshuganeh. The doctors are guilty for the deaths? Doctors? Doctors are guilty for the deaths? Semmelweis was institutionalized and he was beaten to death, a young man. 10 years later, they said he was right. And today every doctor knows you wash your hands. You understand? That's how life works. And we have it in our community too. That's why the worst thing for a Rav, a Rosh Yeshiva, a Rebbe, a Mashpia, a therapist is arrogance. When you feel you know it all. When you don't have that bittel, that humility. V'nachnu ma, that we learn. V'nachnu ma, Moshe, v'nachnu ma. You're a disaster. Rashi brings, it's a Gemara in Brachas, daf Nun. Moshe told Bezalel to build the Kalim and then the Mishkan. So Bezalel said, you don't do that. First you build a house, the exterior structure, and then you build it, put in the Kalim. Moshe said first the Kalim and then the Beis HaMikdash, then the Mishkan. So he told Bezalel, Betzel, Kael, Hayisa, V'yadaita. You must be in the shadow of Hashem, Bezalel, because that's what Hashem told me. Now imagine if Moshe Rabbeinu had the Pesach, an issue with self-consciousness. It's a chutzpah. You know how old Bezalel was? Huh? Ben Ches. It's an 8-year-old little kind. Lo nifke chuenov. Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu was 81 years old. Nevi Hashem. And a little kid is telling you, sure you heard right? Doesn't make sense. Get out of here. A shoita? A chutzpah? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Wow, but sell kale. You're in the shadow of Hashem. And arrogance doesn't necessarily mean arrogance. Arrogance could be insecurity. Arrogance could be just, you're not in touch with reality. It's a different types of arrogance. Arrogance could also look like guilt and fear and shame, but I'm not in touch with reality. I'm busy putting myself down rather than understanding who I am. The Rebbe Dayatz once wrote to somebody, his name was Rabbi Avram Hecht, Anova shaloi b'mkayma yisaydosa gaiva. Misplaced humility is rooted in arrogance. Why are you asking me? Ve'binech. Anova shaloi b'mkayma. Somebody asked him to speak. Avram Hecht from the Hecht family. He was later the rabbi of Shari Tzia in the Shari Zion in the Syrian community. Avram Dov Hecht. I heard the story from him. So he said, misplaced humility, its foundation is gaiva. Humility is not always humility. Sometimes humility is arrogance. Of course it's a coping mechanism. Arrogance is a huge coping mechanism. It's a huge coping mechanism. Arrogance is basically blocking yourself from truth. And you know what? It's very hard. It seems easy. It's a miserable way to live. But it seems easy. It's all survival. Reish is goyim amalek. Once that happens, the person is stuck in a bubble. And then they already develop all types of ideas and all types of emotions, and they don't even know what comes from what. Reish is goyim. At the nekuda, you'll always find Amalek. You're going to find something not al piseichel. It's a chutzpah that's not al piseichel. And that's what was born. And that's the Nekud of Ra. And that's Acharisei Adayovet, that you can't make peace with. Because it's toxic, it's there to poison you. Once you can switch that off, now you can already deal with all your middos. It's a switch, it's a tiny little switch. It's a message of self-destructiveness that is not rational. And it's rooted in the fact that you're not plugged into the source. You're not a manifestation of the divine. That's the core. Because from there comes all the inner oneness and bliss and confidence. And the need, and not the lack of a need for ego. You with me? Thus is the Nekuda. So I'm telling you, this teaches us about wars. The moment you put your guard down, that's what happened. Same thing happened with the Yom Kippur War, by the way. Golda Meir, Moshe Dayan, they had the intelligence. They had the intelligence. You know, I grew up in Crown Heights. The Lubavitcher Rebbe for 30 years didn't stop talking about this. And nobody liked it. Everybody said, you know, what do you want? What do you want? 30 years, he didn't stop. Every Fabrengen. I didn't understand why. I was a kid. Chanukah, Purim, Yutas Kislev, Yud Beis Tammuz, Shabbos Bereishis, Noach. About the misconceptions of the Israeli leaders for generations already, since the Six-Day War. He used to say, Sivadozain Apchiladoidus. That's what it was, his experience. Sivadozain Apchiladoidus. And people, what's Vilsta? What do you want? We're on the way to peace. On the way to peace. Some, but everything, giving away territory, compromising, Palestinian state, everything. Oslo, Camp David. There's officially peace with Egypt and Jordan, right? Officially peace with Egypt and Jordan. You say it's fiction. It's their way of getting billions of dollars a year from America until they're ready for war. They have patience. He felt that Israel is anchored in a place of insecurity. And the biggest insecurity was the insecurity in Judaism and Jewish identity. He saw it. He used to see me. He would nonstop talk about it. In our own life, we have to learn from this. The moment I give territory, right? I'm going to get attacked. I'm going to get attacked. It's halach in Shulchan Aruch. Nachrim shetzaru al ayaris Yisrael. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Chavtes in Erechem, the Rebbe would quote this Shulchan Aruch almost every few weeks. In Hilchah Shabbos, there's a law in Shulchan Aruch. That if you have a city near a border, right? So even if non-Jews are coming, and they say, all we want is we want to steal the straw. We want to, this, it's just money. We want a little money. So you have to be Mechal Shabbos and Yotzin Aleim B'Klei Zayin, because there's a chash that if they have a foot here, they're going to take over the whole country. So what's the cheshbon? They're not saying that. We don't want to take over the country. We don't even want to kill anybody. We just want straw. We just want to take straw. But if there's even a chash of a chash of a chash, one life is going to be endangered. So compromising that is an element of Pikuch. You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos today. Why are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos today? Nothing happened. There's no Jews there. It's just a... So halach is really describing reality. We have to know reality. If there's a potential for danger of one person, that has to be the only cheshbon. So you used to say the only cheshbon has to be military, not politics. You don't mix in politics here. But if it's really a painful story, it's a sad story. It's a very sad story. I'll call upon him. What I'm trying to bring out here is in our own life, it's also true. You never ever allow to let down guard, because Amalek wants to come in right in the morning and take over. So you have to always establish the hierarchy, and then you're good to go. And if he comes, there's a good defense system. If there's no defense system, the infiltration could be very, very painful. And then to get him out is much harder. Yeah? Okay. B'char lanu anoshim v'tsevi lachim b'amalek. Have a wonderful day.
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.